May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So today we celebrate the feast of St. Michael and All Angels, which is appointed for September 29th. And this feast day has long been my favorite of them all. And every year, I wonder why someone or someone's chose these lectionary readings. And usually it's just a passing question, but this year I kept coming back to it. Surely there are better readings than Genesis 28, where the angels only appear in the background. What about Isaiah 61, where we get a whole description of the angels, where they're flying around shouting, "Holy, holy, holy"? Surely we could do better than John 1, where Jesus talks about the angels in a distant future kind of way. Why don't we read about the angels who appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus? The only passage we read that seems to focus at least somewhat on the angels is the one from Revelation. And as I wondered about this, I realized that this is exactly the point. For to be sure, today is a day we celebrate the ministry of angels, those beings who are God's agents and messengers. But it's not really about the angels at all. It's about God. It's about God and what He chooses to do in and through the angels. It's about God and how He decides to be present in the world by way of the ministry of angels. Today and every day is about God. Yes. We know that anytime we see angels in Scripture, that for sure there's some kind of divine activity happening. Whenever angels are present, the activity of God is front and center. So I had to stop and ask, as we read today's lessons, what is God doing? What is the presence and activity of angels saying about God? What does this revelation from God say to us in our own day and time? In our Old Testament reading from Genesis, we see a man who surely knows something about being in distress. Jacob is on the run from Esau, afraid for his life because he barely stole his brother's birthright. And Esau was only waiting for the period of mourning for their father to end so that he could kill Jacob. To be sure, Jacob and his mother did a wicked thing. But even so, he must still have felt fear when he fled. Desperate for peace and safety, probably anxious, tense, with heightened senses on the lookout for any sign that trouble had caught up with him. He probably didn't even stop to think about God. But God still thought about him. Amen. In exile from his home and family, sinner that he was, God remembered him and came to him in a dream. The dream is important because Jacob was vulnerable in sleep. He couldn't control what happened, meaning that his whole encounter with God was the result of God wanting to meet him and choosing a place, a time, a state. When Jacob sinned, when the cares of life, when Jacob's own reluctance could not interfere, so that the word he spoke would be heard loud and clear. In this dream, there was a ladder reaching up to heaven. This ladder, this stairway, was a visual representation of the connection between earth and heaven. It tells us that heaven is not an isolated spiritual or divine realm somewhere up there in the sky where God and angels dwell and we here on earth are left to our own devices. No. The creation was not left to struggle on its own, simply waiting for death to go to heaven, where all trouble would be over. No. The angels, God's very own heavenly messengers were ascending and descending on that ladder. And it reminds us that no matter how deep our darkness gets, that we are not now and will never be cut off from God. Have you ever had trouble and worries be so loud and all-consuming they sometimes drown out the voice of God? Have you ever been in a situation where you were pouring all your energy into simply surviving day to day or from moment to moment and don't even have the strength to look for the hand of God? Have you ever felt like you were drowning, being crushed by the weight of disappointment and grief and could no longer pray? Felt like darkness was your only companion, to the point that it's hard to remember that you are loved by God? Have the things that once gave you joy and life and enthusiasm, including even a call from God, started to feel like an unbearable burden? Having been struggling with some of this recently, and still struggling in some ways, let me tell you, if you don't know, that is a hard place to be. And sometimes there's no one to tell. Sometimes you don't know how to tell. Sometimes you may indeed feel all alone. But today we are reminded that we can still count on all the resources of heaven. Hope, strength, life, help, grace, mercy, yes, are all still possible, yes, and available to the people of God. Indeed, this vision of angels ascending and descending between earth and heaven looked forward to the incarnation when God himself took on human flesh, because God's desire to show and prove that he is with us always was expressed most clearly and definitively in becoming one of us, in living and dying as one of us, in rising to life again so that we might rise. Doesn't Jesus tell Nathanael that he would see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, not on the earth, but on the Son of Man, Jesus? We should not be surprised then that when war broke out in heaven and Michael and his angels conquered Satan and his angels by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, that is, their witness and their commitment to God. So when we sing that there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, we need to know that we are talking about power that does, in fact, reach to the highest mountain and flow to the lowest valley. Power that covers all things in heaven and on earth. We need to know that the blood of the Lamb by which the angels conquered Satan is the same blood by which you and I can conquer Satan and all the temptations and trials of the world. And that that blood will never, ever lose its power. And one of my favorite hymns for this feast day is the one we sang as our graduate. It says, come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. Worthy the Lamb that died, they cried, to be exalted thus. Worthy the Lamb, our lips reply, for he was slain for us. Jesus is worthy to receive honor and power divine and blessings more than we can give. Be Lord forever thine. So let all creation join in one to bless the sacred name of him that sits upon the throne and to adore the lamb. Jacob dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Amen.
Amen.